Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our contemplative evening worship service. And I encourage you, wherever you may be, to prepare to partake in the Eucharist with us at home. And thank you, and those in the presence this evening here in this room, we thank you for your gift of being here. Tonight, we will be reminded of the energy of God that works in each of us and that activates in us the work that we are called to do, each in our own ways in our lifetime, and to accomplish this work, to complete it as much as we possibly can. So let's send love to the world, let's send peace to the world, and let us gather our attention and intention for this service tonight. Let's wish for the blessing of this service now in the silence. Amen.
The scripture reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2. My beloved, obedient as you have always been, not only when I am present, but all the more now when I am absent, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For God is the one who, for his good purpose, works in you both to desire and to work. Do everything without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like lights in the world. As you hold on to the word of life, so that my boast for the day of Christ may be that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am poured out as a libation upon the sacrificial service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with all of you. In the same way, you also should rejoice and share your joy with me. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
That passage of scripture was chosen by the committee that is called the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and they appoint the readings throughout the year in a 3-year cycle, actually. So I found it interesting, some of the words in that passage and their timeliness for the day after the election. I think they're kind of chuckling with slyness that I did not run in vain, however it unfolds. This notion that we do our best, and no matter who we are, we do our best and we leave the outcomes to God. And in essence, that's what I want to remind myself about tonight, and in so doing, hopefully encourage your own spiritual journey. And that is that when we lose sight of our aims, we drift, we disintegrate, and we don't reach the end, the purpose to which our life is aiming at. And that's part of the process as well. It's not like anyone gets through life perfectly without losing their aim. It seems to me that part of the blessing of losing our aim is that it shows us where we wish to really go. Because as we end up experiencing things because of wrong aim or false aim, we see the fruit of that in our lives, and it's a wake-up moment for us to say, oh, I need to recalibrate here in my body, in my emotions, in my mind, so that I can make a different aim that will reach its intended goal, or the purpose to which I'm here for. So all of us need to tune up our aims And especially in this season where there's many distractions occurring, it is useful to have aims to anchor us so that we live toward the destiny of spiritual fruitfulness, not just boredom or disintegration or forgetfulness or falling back to sleep, which is so easy to do for all of us. And this passage of Scripture has a beautiful word in it that resonates with all of us in this community. It's one of the very few passages in the New Testament that specifically are anchored in what I would call the esoteric dimension of Christianity, and that is the work of inner Christianity. Literally, the word work shows up here twice, and I think it's a useful passage for everyone, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, to reflect upon and to integrate into your own heart and to your mind. The first invitation is an imperative that is given to the Christian community at the Church of Philippi, that Paul is encouraging them to work, and to work in such a way that it obtains their ultimate end or the purpose of their faith. And the particular way in which they're encouraged to work is with fear and trembling. To work with fear and trembling. And that to me is a reminder, this notion of fear and trembling, of not so much being afraid of something, but being awake and alert. And I think that's the essence of this notion of fear and trembling, to be, so to speak, on pins and needles, that is, awake and alert, not groggy, not asleep, not in dimmed consciousness, but awake and alert. And this is something we can all wish for more in our lives, to work with the lights on, to work in a state of awake. Now, this is a really difficult thing for us to do all the time. It's impossible to work all the time. We fall asleep. And especially, you can see some of the ways in which we fall asleep culturally and the things that draw our attention and the moments where we fall into fear or we fall into anger or we fall into hopelessness. All these are big distractions that take us out of that sense of awakeness and alertness and a willingness to do our work in any given moment versus forgetting. Now, I'm the first person to share that I oftentimes find myself drifting asleep in certain situations, and I tend to sometimes enjoy that because it eases the effort sometimes just to rest and to, as it were, drink a glass of Coca-Cola that I know I shouldn't drink and eat chips and salsa and maybe too many chips and salsa. And so that's a particular center that's being activated that I'm kind of checking out and giving myself permission to relax. And I think it's a common example of how we stop working and give ourselves the permission to kind of go to sleep. I don't know if that's bad or good. I think what is useful is that I can see it perhaps after the fact, how that particular thing in my life or in your life puts me to sleep. As long as I can see it after the fact, that I find there's some use in that, and it's useful work. And this notion of doing our work with alertness and awakeness, with fear and trembling, I think is useful to see that we can just fall asleep and then we wake up, and that's useful. We don't always have to be awake. Falling asleep gives us that contrast to say, what is our life like when we fall asleep? And that gives fuel to the fire to stay awake more, because we can see the fruit of when we fall asleep in our relationships, in our body, in our emotional state. And then secondly, this notion of that your salvation, that you work for your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, that word, salvation, is the Greek word sozo, and it means, in its root sense, help, to be given help. And we, in our culture of Christianity, can interpret the idea of being saved sort of along the lines of getting saved from hell for heaven. And many of us have been inculcated with that kind of thinking. But the notion of salvation literally is to be helped. But there's a subtle other meaning to the word sozo that has to do with not just help, But what help does to you, it brings health, H-E-A-T-H, health, H-E-A-L-T-H, health. Help brings health, or another word for health is wholeness. So this sense of being fragmented or disintegrated psychologically and spiritually, to work so that this salvation, this sozo, might bring help that leads to healing and integration and wholeness of our being, which is really something to work for. And this is really the ultimate purpose of any esoteric system, to bring us into integration and wholeness and health. And not just physical health, but emotional and spiritual health and well-being psychologically. So it's all connected, that as we do our work on our intellect and our emotions and our body, it brings about an increasing state of integration and wholeness and health. Well-being would be another way of putting it. And these are, another way of putting that is the higher hydrogens that manifest, that sort of higher energetic quality that manifests as we are integrated and healed and made into that wholeness more and more in our lives. It brings us a sense of joy. And that joy then is a virtuous circle, because it feeds our capacity to stay awake more and more and more. And that's a beautiful thing. And then the second word here, where the word work comes into play, is a derivation of the word work. And literally it says this: for God's good purpose works in you, both to will and to work. And the Greek word there is en energia. And you can hear the English word energy. So literally this is like the energy that's fueling these light bulbs, or the energy that's fueling your house right now, the electricity that's fueling your house right now. That is the energy that is in each of us. God's energy is in each of us, bringing about the capacity for each of us to will and to work. And this is an answer to the question, how do I work when I'm exhausted or when I fall asleep? Or what happens when I just discover that I'm not working at all? Well, here's the good news, is that God's work is at work in us. God's energy is at work in us all the time. So even when we fall asleep, God is at work bringing about what we need. And that's the confidence that we can trust, that even though we may not have any clue what to do with our life, God's work is at work in us. It's secret, it's hidden oftentimes, it's subtle, and sometimes it's very clear. But the energy of God is working in us to will and to work for us on our behalf. And this to me reminds me of the active and the passive sides of our Christian teaching of the work and the prayer. That we are given the imperative to stay awake and to work with fear and trembling, and we are given the grace to know that when we do fall asleep, God's energy is always there, empowering when we are weak, empowering when we forget, empowering when we're fragmented, and we can trust in that and count on that and call on that. So I hope this encourages you in some way to recognize the invitation is to stay awake more and more by our work, and to rest in the fact and the reality that God's energy is always available and always at work, no matter what, including when you're totally identified with whatever might be going on, including when you completely forget and go for days or weeks or months feeling like you've lost your aim, that you don't even know what your aim is. That's the moment to simply ask for God's mercy and start over. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence and let the Holy Spirit bring the completion that is required tonight for each of our journeys. I thank you for your presence here tonight, for our service of silence and scripture and reflection on the scripture and the sacrament. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit is giving each of us the energy to identify, know, and remember our aims. Amen.